just to let you know God is still here. His presence is still here. Amen? The Lord's showing me some things tonight. But one of the things that we need is the glory of God. And I've entitled this message, Returning to the Glory. Because it's in the glory where things take place and supernatural things happen and miracles and healings and people get set free. But before I talk about that, just share a little bit about the nations of the world. And Shirley and I get to travel the nations. We had an urgent plea this last week for Bibles for Pakistan. Just had a bunch of Hindus gave their lives to the Lord. And so they're wanting to get Bibles for them. They cost about $8.50 a piece, something like that over there. So if anyone wants to donate for Bibles, why, we will receive that and send that money to them. The Philippines are having severe floods. Some of the churches that we've ministered in are full of mud, and others, some of the parts of it washed away. We had a picture on Facebook, and the people were worshiping the Lord, and the water was about that deep running through the church. But they were in church worshiping the Lord. So a little water doesn't stop them. A little flood doesn't stop them. They're so hungry for the gospel. And I hope that we as the Church of America can get that hungry as well. That we won't stop at anything, whether it's rain or snow or ice, that we gather together with the believers, because God is wanting to work in our lives. And I had a vision this morning. I wasn't able to share it, but I saw people climbing stairs. And some people climbed the first stair and stopped and just laid there. And others climbed way past them to the fifth stair. But pretty soon, the person that had climbed to the first stair was able to climb on past them. And I was trying to say, Lord, what are you speaking? Why am I seeing this vision? And I believe that the Lord is saying that the church needs to go higher. But maybe you're not strong enough to go those 5 steps or 10 steps. But he wants you to advance at least to the first floor, the first step, and lay there if necessary and get the strength that he has for you. And then when you have that strength, you can arise and go on to the next level. But God is saying we can't stay where we've been. Our pastor's been preaching about it, that we have to move in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We have to move when God moves. Tonight, I want to read from John chapter 17. And also, as you're turning there, a lot of you have been praying for Shirley and I as a family and with our children. We've had a breakthrough this week, and there's still another breakthrough we need. But I thank all of you for praying, because God worked many miracles. And so we're thankful for the body of Christ that sticks together, prays for us, and lifts us up when we go through times where we can't really see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you want to use that terminology. But sometimes the only reason we can go on is because we have the whole family behind us praying for us, saying, you're going to make it. Jesus said to his disciple, let's go to the other side. But what happened in the middle? There was a storm. But the storm didn't stop them. They made it anyway. They pressed on through. But Jesus calms the storm tonight. You're in a storm in your life. You're going through something. You can't see how it's all going to work out. God is in control. If we let him, he'll take us through to the other side. Hallelujah. Walter and Virginia are going through trials, and Virginia's been having dizziness, and different things have happened in her body that are very unusual. Walter has severe back pain, and so we just need to agree and pray for Walter and Virginia and their family tonight. We know God has called them here to America, and that's why they're not here tonight. But we believe that they will be here. All right. As we read the word, John 17, 1-5, it's a prayer of Jesus. He says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. That last sentence really spoke to me. with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the word. It just always brings life to us. We intercede for Walter and Virginia, their family, for health and strength and renewed energy in their lives, for this body and the pastors and all the leaders here, Lord, that we would be together as a family, watch over each other, pray for each other, Lord, that we might together win many for your kingdom. So, Lord, tonight, just honor your word. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We talk about returning to the glory. Where was the glory in the beginning? We see that God's presence was there when the earth was formed. But the first place that we really see the presence of God alive was in the garden. And in the garden, it was paradise. It was perfection. And you know what glory actually means? Splendor, honor, fullness of perfection. That's what the word glory means. In other words, wherever God is, there's the fullness of perfection. And so we want to get to the place where the Lord is so we can walk in the fullness of perfection. But the garden was where God's glory was in that early dispensation. God created it. It was perfect. It was full of splendor. Everything in order. I mean, you know that God's kingdom is always in order. There's nothing out of order. In our lives, things get out of order. Our families get out of order. Work is out of order. But in the kingdom of God, it's always in order. There's always a plan that is put into place. And here Jesus is saying in these first verses, I have done what you've told me to do, Father. I have glorified you. And guess what? The greatest glory and the greatest glory of Jesus' life was when he was hanging on that cross. Not to us as men, but to him, because he finished the work that God had called him to do. We're living in the end times. Have you ever seen so many floods, so many fires, so many earthquakes, volcanoes? Just read it, Matthew 24. We're living in the end times. But it's not the end yet. But what do we do when we know something's coming to an end? We press on for that perfection. We want the glory of the Lord in our lives. And I want to just share, everything was in order. God planted the garden. He put man in the garden whom he formed from the dust of the earth. He said, take care of this garden. He made every tree grow that is pleasant to the eyes and good for food. There was a river that went out of Eden to water the garden. Verse 19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord, Genesis 2, verse 19, it says, out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast and bird. Adam named all of them. Hallelujah. Then it says, God made a woman from the rib of Adam, the perfect woman. How many guys like to live with a perfect woman? Oh. Anyway, she was perfect in all of her ways. And of course, the women are going to say, I'd like to live with a perfect man too, right? But in that day, there was perfection, total perfection. There was no sin. And in the garden is where God's glory was. And I don't know about you, but when I was studying this and putting it together, I was thinking of that song, In the Garden. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and I don't think you want me to sing it, but the second verse is, he speaks, and the sound of his voice, too high, is so sweet that the birds hush their singing. It really spoke to me. The voice of the Lord is so sweet that the birds stop chirping and listen to the voice of the Lord. But it's a place of perfection where he walks and talks, and he tells me I'm his own. Oh, hallelujah. If we could get back to the presence of God where God's glory is, how our lives would change. You're really quiet tonight. Would your lives change? The garden, the paradise, it was full of all plants and trees, animals, birds, water, everything you can think about. God was there. He walked and talked with Adam and Eve. And of course, there were two trees there. A tree of life, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. We could all agree, I believe, that this was truly paradise. This was the presence of God. Freedom of will. This was a place where man could be all that God had called him to be, full of worship. Just everything. There was nothing to stop them, right? nothing to stop them from becoming the man and woman that God had created them to be. Why was this possible? God's glory. Why was this possible? God's presence. Why was this possible? God's perfection. It was all there in the garden. And church, I think it's time that we get back to the glory. We get back to the glory because it's in the glory where God can create in us or make in us or fulfill who He has called us to be and make us the man or woman that He wants us to be. Where we can hear His voice and we can communicate and talk with Him. But I believe sometimes we've gone and left the glory because we had our own agenda and our own plan. Remember in Exodus chapter 33, and Moses goes into this tent that he calls a tabernacle. And when he's in there, the glory comes down, the cloud comes down and covers him. And God begins to speak to him and he says, okay, now I want you to take these people up to the promised land, the one that I told Abraham I was going to give his children. And what does Moses say? A little bit later, he says, unless you go with me, I will not go. Unless your presence goes with us, we're staying put. We're not going to move. Because the glory was so great in that place. And Moses felt the presence of God. In fact, it says that God talked to Moses face to face in that tent. Of course, he could not see his eye. Could he not see his face because there was a cloud in the room. The glory was so strong. But the people were stiff-necked. That's what it says. God wanted to kill them because they were so rebellious. You have to back up a chapter. Moses was up on Mount Sinai talking with God. God was giving him all the commandments, and the people down below, you know, they were messing with Aaron. God had put him in charge, and he really wasn't in charge because they ran all over him. So, pastor, when you put somebody in charge of the congregation, you got to make sure that they know how to do it. Because sure enough, the people started grumbling and complaining, and Moses is going to die. He probably never come down. And so they all broke off the gold, and you know the story. They made a molten calf and began to worship. Said, this is the God of Israel. And God said, I want to kill him. Really? But Moses said, no, no. You made him a promise. You made him a covenant. Do you ever have the enemy lie to you and say, it's not going to happen? It's not going to be the way that you heard the voice of God? And he really taunts you and he really says, convinces you that it's never going to change. But I want you to know, if God has spoken it tonight, his word is true. So Moses held God to his word. He was a strong man. He wasn't a pushover. He was at the right place at the right time for the right purpose. Yes. Yeah. Brother Wright in Subaru doesn't have anything over us here in Cedar Rapids. Amen. He was at the right place at the right time for the right purpose. It might have gone over your head. That's okay. But Moses was chosen by God to lead his people into a glorious place, a place where God's presence lived, a place where God's presence was 24/7, a place where they didn't have to work hard, where the rain had come down and watered the ground. Oh, hallelujah. You're not getting it, are you? It's in the presence of God where things take place. It's in the presence of God where supernatural things take place. It's in the presence of God where God heals us, restores us, sets us free, breaks the chains, hallelujah, and we can move on to that next step, hallelujah. But we have to do something. We have to hear that voice. We have to follow that voice. But the churches as a whole, I'm not talking about Open Bible, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I'm talking about the church as a whole throughout the nation has just left the glory behind and moved on because they had their own agenda. But later in Exodus 33, verse 18, Moses pleads with the Lord, please show me your glory. Show me your glory, Lord. What do you say? I'll show you my glory, but you're not going to get to see my face. Here, you go stand on this rock, and I'm going to pass by. And when I come close, I'm going to put my hand over you so you can't see me. But he takes away his hand, and he gets to see the hind part of God, and all the glory of God was so strong. Just the presence of God close to you changes things. Oh, hallelujah. Disobedience. My first point was in the garden. The second one is disobedience. Don't even think about it. You ever hear somebody say that? God said you can eat of every tree in the garden except Genesis 2 and 17, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. No, you shall not eat of that. Everything else was a yes in the garden. Everything else was yes. Can I go swimming? Yes. Can I have a picnic? Yes. Can I eat some blueberries? Yes. Or mangoes? Yes. Can I climb a tree? Yes. Can I make a tree house? Yes. You know, there was no no's. You do anything you wanted, except cannot eat from that tree. Why not? What did God say? Because of the day that you eat from that tree, you eat of its fruit, you shall surely die. But guess what the devil says? Oh, you're not going to die. The power of suggestion. Oh, you're not going to die. You know, he lies to us. He comes deceptive to us. He tells us that the promise of God is never going to come to pass. Some of you have been given words 20 years ago and you're still waiting for that fulfillment. You know what? If it was God speaking to you, then it will be fulfilled. I remember a word that my wife got that was right almost exactly 20 years later. The whole thing was manifested, came to pass exactly as it was spoken. But I believe God's moving faster today. I believe he's moving in a way that will inspire his children to have faith. Pastor was talking about one of the gifts, a gift of faith, that we would take that step even when we can't see the possibility of it coming to pass. Am I going too fast for you? Shall I repeat myself? I have a lot of pages, so I have to hurry, okay? Well, it seems like when Revelation comes, I quickly write it down. But anyway, disobedience. You won't die, Satan said. Oh, no, it's... God knows your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Eve ate. Adam ate because she said it was delicious. And you know, really, if I wanted to find a good excuse for man eating it or Adam eating it, he didn't know what kind of fruit she had. She just said, here, I got this apple and it's really good. Go eat it. No, that's not true. Okay. But there was deception. And Satan is always deceiving, trying to deceive us. That's why when you hear somebody say, you got to get the word in, you got to read the Bible. Pastor's saying, you got to read the Bible. Spend time in the word. That's why we have to know what the word says, because Satan uses half-truths. Oh, you surely won't die. But at that moment, when they took that bite, their eyes were open. And they suddenly felt shame. At their nakedness, it says. But they felt shame. And later, when God was trying to find them, he said they were afraid and they hid from God. So shame and fear came after sin. The first time we see it in the Bible. Shame and fear. But we see that God sacrificed a couple of animals and took their skin, sewed it together, and gave them something to wear. The first sacrifice of animals. But in this moment, in this disobedient moment, they went from being innocent to having a conscience. And I don't talk about dispensations. I don't preach about dispensation, but the Bible shows us there's like 7 dispensations. And the first and the shortest dispensation was the dispensation of innocence. They were innocent. They were immortal. They weren't going to die. They were going to live forever because they had no sin. That's the way God created them. But the minute that they ate of that fruit, they became mortal beings. And they were going to die and return to the dust. That's what God says. The dispensation that we're living in today, they say there's 7 dispensations in the Bible. We're living in the dispensation of grace, where it means we have hope. There's possibility. Things can change. your life can be turned around. You can have fulfillment of your dreams. That means that you can be blessed and anointed for the work of the Lord. That means that God can work a miracle for you because you're living under His grace. That means that you have forgiveness for your life because you're living under grace. And so if you sin or are sinning tonight, if you stop sinning, God can forgive you and His grace will cover you. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. Hallelujah. And then the Lord says, well, they were still living in the paradise. They had sinned. They were in the garden, but they were still living in God's glory. And what does God say? In Genesis 3:22, it says, the Lord says, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent them out of the Garden of Eden, away from the glory. Point number three, outside of the glory. Living in sin, living in the natural man, created from the dust of the earth. And God said man would work and toil on the ground until he returned to the ground. The glory represents God's presence. I've been pushing that. I've been telling you that. Because God is perfection. God is perfect. But sin separates us from the glory. So if we want perfection, or if we want to live in a little bit of that glory, then what do we have to do? We have to get rid of sin. We can stop doing certain things that we know are wrong, certain habits that we picked up. We can stop doing that. You can come to church 3 times a week. You can give all the money you want and tithe, big tithes, and help build churches all over the world and be an usher and a Sunday school teacher and all that, but you're still a sinner, full of sin. And you're still away from the grace of God, glory. Not away from the grace, but away from the glory. And we can't stop sinning on our own. We'd like to try. A lot of people have tried. And in the natural man, we are subject to sickness, all kinds of pain, hurts, bondage, addictions, brokenness, all kinds of evil, which we really don't understand. If you don't really understand it, read Galatians 5, 19 and 20 to 21. It talks about the works of the flesh. So we need help tonight. As men and women, we need help. We need a Savior. And Jesus came to restore that glory. Amen? Jesus came to restore the glory. Are you hearing me? Jesus came to bring us back to God. Jesus came to connect us back with the Father. And it's in the Father's presence where the glory is, where we feel fulfilled, where we feel like we are someone. So God is returning us to the glory, and He returned us to the glory through Jesus Christ. Jesus came, born of a virgin. Oh, hallelujah. Lived a sinless life, was bruised, beaten, nailed to the cross, died, was buried. He rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Verse 19, I pray also that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him. This is that same mighty power, the power of the Holy Spirit, that went into the tomb, amen, hallelujah, touched Jesus, that raised Christ from the dead, seated Him in the place of honor. And some translations say glory, place of glory at the Father's right hand in the heavenly realm. Jesus came to connect us to the glory of God. Return to the glory. That's the title of the message. Return to the glory. But now Jesus, His work is finished. He's seated at the right hand of the Father in the full glory that was prepared from the foundation of the earth. Before the world was, is what Jesus said. Remember? Before the world was. The problem, number four. Somebody's taking notes. Blind eyes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Satan, the god of this world. What was Paul's commission by the Lord Jesus? Paul's commission was go to the Gentiles to open their eyes so that they might turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. It says, then they will receive forgiveness for their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me. Many of the people all over the world are living for the god of this world. They have built altars of idols. Listen to me. They have built altars of idols. Do we have we as Christians? I was going to say the church, maybe the church too, but have we as individuals that believe that Jesus is Lord, but we begin to build idols on our own and we begin to worship those idols. And then we wonder why there's no glory and there's nothing happening in my life. Why? 2 Timothy 3, 1-7, verse 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying the power. Blinded by whom? Satan. Blinded by whom? The god of this world. And God's not going to share his glory with another. Isaiah 48, 11, he says, I'm not going to share my glory with idols. If you read 7 and 8, he says, I'm creating new things today that were not there yesterday so that the idolaters would not receive the glory. So he's creating the new things that were not there yesterday. So just remember, for God's glory, he's going to do something for you, do a miraculous healing. He's going to do something that no one, no man can do, so he receives the glory because he knows if maybe you could say, well, you know, just a miracle of medicine that I'm healed. He created something new today that was not there yesterday for his glory. He protects his glory. Are you hearing me? He protects his glory. He's not going to share it with idolatry. So maybe the church, maybe we're missing out because we build altars that we don't realize and we're worshiping these idols that we don't realize and we don't feel his presence in our home. We don't feel his presence in our life. We don't feel his presence wherever we go. I'm not telling you're doing that. I'm asking. I'm challenging you. Have we built altars and worship them instead of worshiping God? The solution is, or the answer is, number 5, returning to the glory. Returning to the glory. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Talking about Jesus Christ. Revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What happened to Adam and Eve when they ate the apple? They went from immortality to mortality. And here is saying that Jesus came to bring us back to that immortality through the gospel. A Savior who has abolished death. Oh, hallelujah. And he's brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The solution to sin is a Savior. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? The solution to sin is a Savior. Hallelujah. So it's time to change partners from Satan, the god of this world, to Jesus, the Savior of this world. What did, I think Pastor maybe quoted it last week, but Luke 4:18, it talks about Jesus said, I'm come to preach the good news. I'm come to heal, I'm come to deliver, I'm come to set free, I'm come to release those who are bound. I've come, and my calling is to do all that God has called me to do. Hallelujah. Bound up, set them free. Every problem that you have, I hear Jesus saying, I have the solution, I have the answer for your problem. Hearts to be healed, blind eyes open, addictions to be gone, oppression be gone. This is what Jesus has done. This is what he's doing today, tonight. Hallelujah. And it's time for the creation, for you and me to come back to the glory. It's time to return to the glory that God has for us as a church. Where do we find the glory? In his presence. Like we're testified here this morning. Like is here tonight. Hallelujah. Like is here tonight. Oh, hallelujah. So the last point I have is restored glory. Number 6. Before Jesus gave the Great Commission, or the beginning of the Great Commission in Matthew 28, he says, all, verse 18, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority was returned to Jesus. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm left-handed, so I raise my left hand a lot. But at the right hand of the Father, he's at the right hand of the Father, restored glory. There is no more separation. There is no more division. It shouldn't be in the church either. Oh, you didn't hear that, did you? It shouldn't be in the church. We should be united. We should fight together. We should pray together, as well as eat together, fellowship together. God wants his glory in the church. He made us to carry the glory. He created us to be glorious. Hallelujah. What happens? The attack of the enemy, the god of this world, Satan, attacks us. We're all subject to it. Nobody's immune to it. That's why we armor ourselves. We put on the armor, the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the way of the devil, that we might be strong and hold up that shield of faith when he shoots those arrows at us. And it says when we're all equipped and ready to fight, we stand strong and we pray and intercede for all the brothers and sisters all around the world, in this church, starting in our homes and all around the world, that we pray together for those saints. They don't have to go to the First Church of the Open Bible. Hallelujah. But God is raising up an army in this day. Pastor, I see it all over the world. We're seeing people come to Jesus. We're seeing people healed and set free. I could stand here for another hour and talk about the miracles that my wife and I have seen and the healings that we have seen in all of the world. And some of them just blow your mind away. Legs grow. Garters fall off. Blind eyes open. Knuckles that are all crippled with arthritis, and the young man can't even open both of his hands. And we prayed for him and began to pour oil on him, and pretty soon he was able to open his arms like this. And then there were still these big knuckles, the big calluses that whatever disease he had. And we went praying down the line for the people that were standing there. We came to this woman and she couldn't see out of one eye, and so we prayed for her blind eye, and God opened her blind eye. The pastor came up and held his hand over her good eye, and she could see with the one that was blind. And about that time, this young man comes running out, and he's almost screaming. And he said, look, my hands. And all of those bumps, all of those nodules that had formed on his hand were completely dissolved, perfectly healed, right in front of our eyes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's not us. He's talking about the gifts this morning, the power of the gift of the Holy Spirit flowing through us. It's for today, church. It's for your life and my life. And this is where we see the glory, the presence of God, where it's so strong. Here's something the Lord showed me. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. The tree, he took them out of the garden so they wouldn't eat of this tree. Because he said if they eat of this tree, they get to live forever. And here Jesus is saying to the churches, to you and me, he that overcomes. Hear the word of the Lord, he that overcomes. He that lives victorious. Hallelujah. I will take him into the paradise and let him eat from that tree of life. Oh, hallelujah. We return into a place where God has created. I've always pictured heaven open, but when I was reading this, I had a vision of all the trees that it says that God created that were good to look at and good to eat, surrounding the throne and everything that you can imagine there, all the animals and all the, oh, hallelujah. Glory to God, we don't have a clue what it's going to be like. We get a glimpse once in a while when the presence of God comes down so strong. Hallelujah. Can we really live in God's glory? Yes. Here on this earth? Yes. I believe we can. I challenge you. If you don't think you can, try it. But first of all, we have to come back and accept Jesus as our Savior. First of all, we have to confess our sins and turn away from our sins. We have to worship true to the Father, break down our idols, cast down our idols, and lift our hands to the Father. And then we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads us into God's glory, His presence, where there's a fullness of joy. And for those of you who are anxious to go, I'm almost finished. Hallelujah. But we have a choice, church. God has made us a people of free will. We have a choice. We can choose to live in His presence or to live away from Him. We can choose. He doesn't stamp us 1, 2, 3. I was challenging the youth. I say, what number are you? 258? No, you don't have a number. God made you an individual. Amen? We don't have a number. God doesn't say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, He doesn't count it. He doesn't stamp a number. Fact is, God says, I build a foundation under you. Tonight the word of the Lord for you is, I build a foundation under you. And I saw Him laying the concrete. I had a vision. Laying the concrete and putting on those beautiful tile on top of that. He said, now this is yours, get on it. This is the foundation for your life. Because before that I saw ropes kind of wrapped around you. And it's like you were bound, but I saw the Holy Spirit come down, cut all those ropes off. Fact is, I saw one around your neck. The Lord has cut all of those things off. You're a free man. And He's built a foundation under you that as long as you stand on that foundation, you're going to live in God's glory and feel a presence that's going to change not only your life, but everyone that you come in contact with. Hallelujah. So get ready. New things are taking place. Good things are happening. Glory is coming. Hallelujah. Just have a few more closing comments, but we can live in the glory, but we have to choose to live in the glory. We'll read another scripture verse. Well, if you read Revelation 21, Revelation 22, chapters 21, 22, you just see the completed work. But there's a verse in 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Woo. In the New King James, it says, blessed are those who keep the commandments of the Lord. And then they will be permitted to enter through the gates and eat from the fruit of the tree of life. What are the commandments of God? Well, I'm doing God's commandments. What are the commandments of God? What did Jesus say to that man that said, about the law, he asked him about the law. What did he say? He said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul. Was it Matthew 22, 37, 39? Those who do the commandments of the Lord, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the law hangs on those two verses, the Bible says. So if we love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and we're kind to our neighbors and love them God says you can enter in. Hallelujah. You can enter into my presence. Hallelujah. You can be in my presence. I'm going to give you the fruit of that tree, which is eternal life. Whew. I never saw it that way. So you think heaven and paradise, the Garden of Eden, maybe go parallel with each other. Because we're not going to return back to the Garden of Eden. God has a better place. And he's paved the streets with gold. Oh, hallelujah. Gold that we can't imagine, we've never seen in our life. A pure gold that radiates God's glory. No need for the sun there. Woo! I had a little taste of that this morning, didn't we? No need for the sun. God's glory is there so strong. Hallelujah. There's a presence that he's releasing. Hallelujah. There's a presence that he's releasing, a new presence for this couple. You know, they try so hard to live pure, holy lives and not do anything or say anything that's wrong. And God honors you for that. He says, now my presence. When you get up there to play, my presence is going to come all over you in a way that's really strong. And tonight, even as you go home and lay on that bed, my presence is going to come into the room. And I'm going to fill you to overflowing, says the Lord, so that you may eat in the fullness of what I've planned for your lives. Thank you, Lord. There's a returning of glory. You know, some things happen and, well, we're not going to go into any details. Some things happen. There was division. There was separation. There were pain. There were hurts. But the Lord says, tonight you're returning to my glory because you're living in my grace. And there's a new anointing that he's putting upon you. Son, a new anointing upon you, daughter. Hallelujah. For his glory, for his honor. Hallelujah. So many things. So many things. I think this young lady here just needs to hear the voice of the Lord. Hallelujah. God just loves you so much. I think it was the last time I preached, you maybe were here. But I don't know why God's picking on you. But he says, I want to just have you walk in my glory. Because there's nothing else that will satisfy or fulfill your life except my presence. And then I see him opening a door that's been closed. In fact, there's been a padlock on it, locked, and somebody threw away the key. And that devil had you convinced that you would never walk through that door. Tonight the Lord says, I've unlocked that door for you. When his glory comes in, you won't even have to make an effort. He'll just push you through. You'll just like flow through that. So get ready. God's doing something good. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Who can we pick on back here? Oh, hallelujah. God's so good. I think it's this man right here. You love the Lord, don't you? Yeah, hallelujah. We saw you climbing a tree because you were like little, what was it, Thaddeus? He was a little short little man. Yep. And he wanted to see Jesus. He was so hungry to see Jesus. But I just had a vision of you climbing that tree. And the Lord says, because you have made that decision, it's sealed. Right? You understand? No going back. It's sealed. You've made that decision to follow the Lord. But you want to see him in the fullness. And the Lord says, I'm going to let you see me in the fullness. So as you press on, that prize is waiting. Hallelujah. That glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. Whoa, hallelujah. I know that I hear the trumpet sounding. I don't know what that means. I hear the blowing of the trumpet. And I know you play the guitar, but maybe God's going to put a trumpet in your mouth. I don't know. But I hear a trumpet blowing. And you know when the trumpet, I've heard it in the past like a shofar blowing that the devil flees. And our Lord wants to tell you that he's blowing the trumpet on your behalf. And the devil has to flee. Stop harassing you. Stop harassing your family, your children, your grandchildren. It's finished. He's blowing the trumpet. And they're going to be set free. Hallelujah. So get ready. Hallelujah. This man has a hunger for the Lord. And I just know that God is changing the page now. And he said, look at that page. It's perfectly clean. There's nothing on there of your past. You're free. It's white. It's spotless. As you continue to press in, the Lord says, you're going to continue to see page after page that way. Hallelujah. Why would he do that for you? Because he has a plan for your life. To bring you to a place where you can hear his word. And you can share that word with others. He's calling you tonight to a higher level. Maybe you're going up one of those steps. I don't know. Maybe one of those steps I saw. Let God touch you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There's a breakthrough. I heard that voice, breakthrough. Break out. Go to the next step. Well, it's a page. I just all of a sudden I see God ripping out that one page out of the book. You keep trying to rewrite it, and God just keeps ripping it out. I said, no, you're free from that tonight. Hallelujah. Whoo! Now he said, start writing down what I tell you. I'm going to write things for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Bless him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ooh. Feel something pull me this way. Dave and Carolyn. Hallelujah. Seems like I see stakes that have been driven in the ground. And you've put up a tent. I think we know what the Word of God says. He says, enlarge your borders. Set your stakes a little further. And the Lord says, I'm bringing such a freedom into your life that you're not going to be tied down. But that He's going to enlarge the areas of the ministry that He has called you into. And that there's a new freedom that He's sending your way. He's restoring vision and dream and gifts of the Spirit. Dave, you have that power. And you have that authority. I've heard you pray. I've seen you operate in the gifts. The Lord says, you're not finished yet, son. I got a new wave of my glory for you. So get ready, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Follow the... Keep stretching. Keep stretching. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just to encourage you. Keep doing the good work. Keep breaking down the altars, going after the glory. Because God honors you in that. Hallelujah. Keep dreaming dreams. It's all right. Press on. The Lord says, don't give up now. You're just about there. Keep pressing on. Hallelujah. For this woman. Oh, hallelujah. It's been hard. You know what? God loves you so much. His glory is there for you. And I saw a covering of the cloud, which means that God is there. When you don't know what you're going to do next or how you're going to meet the next need, what you're going to say, what's going to happen, God, remember, God's glory is covering you. And you can go in that glory, wherever that glory moves. Hallelujah. You can go in that. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. People are hungry. We're hungry for God. We're hungry for His glory. So let's get our lives in a place where we can be fulfilled in that glory. Young lady, Lord just spoke to me. He is going to turn things into a fast mode. You're going to put that bicycle in high gear, fast, and you're beginning to go where He tells you to go. There's places that the Lord says He's prepared for you to visit. And you're going to go with His word. It's not the bicycle, okay? It's God's presence. But you can't hold back. You're young, you're free, you have the enthusiasm. And the Lord says, I will honor that. Now make sure you're grounded in the Word. Make sure that you know His Word so the devil can't tempt you and turn you aside. But He said, I have places prepared for you to go. That's the word I hear. I have places prepared that I've called you to go to. So get ready. Hallelujah. Bless your Lord. Hallelujah. Doors are open all over the world. They're open all over the world. Are we going to answer the call? How can we answer the call if we've got idols, if we're outside of the glory? What's outside of the glory? Sin. What keeps us from the glory? Sin. Satan blinds our eyes so that we can't even see what's happening in our lives. But there's a glory and a presence of the Lord that He wants us to walk in. What did Jesus do? He abolished death. Woo! And brought immortality back to us through the gospel. Abolished death. Woo! He took away that death sentence. give us eternal life. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Everlasting life. Hallelujah. You ready? For more, Pastor's been preaching, teaching on the gifts, talking about the Holy Spirit. The next couple of weeks in adult Sunday school, I've been asked to teach on the gift of prophecy. And if you want to come, 9:30, for the next couple of weeks we'll be teaching. And I'm not really trying to plug my class, but really I am. It's come out. We have God has shown me some things. I've written it down. You'll get some piece of paper with things on it. Maybe some of your questions can be answered. But God is moving. Brother Gale in the back, God is moving in a way in your life and your wife's life. Oh, hallelujah. I saw water like it comes over the spillway. It's nothing that you can control. It's going to be an overflow. You know, a dam regulate. They regulate the water flow. But the Lord says, I'm causing an overflow in your life. It's coming. And it's coming strongly. Woo, hallelujah. Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. What do you want from God? The glory, right? Amen. His presence, his perfection. That's what we want tonight. That's what we want. He has it for us. It's Pastor come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're always glad to stay and pray with you for whatever the Lord wants for you.
Amen. Great word. And Pastor John will be bringing donuts at 9:30. Now you really sold it. From Kelowna. Oh, glory. I love the gift of prophecy. I love that he flows in different gifts. Gift of prophecy,